Hello, welcome back. Today I am here with some co-founders of the Phone Free Schools movement. So welcome Kim Whitman and Sabina Pollock. Hi guys.
Hello, thanks for having us, Sean.
Absolutely. I'm happy to have you guys. So sadly, we do not have Maleva Rapaski with us today, who is your other co-founder. She couldn't be here due to an emergency, but that is A-okay. I'm super excited to talk to you guys.
We are
We are
too.
excited too.
All right, awesome. So it is fantastic to have you here. I would love to hear first, what are your stories of how you became passionate about this issue and to the full level of wanting to create a movement?
So I really took a deep dive into the harms of social media and the impacts that it was having on children when my daughter began to struggle mentally with the impacts of her social media usage. And really, I started advocating heavily after my family was experiencing this, especially in my community. I began to have discussions with our school. And there was really two big reasons for this. And the first one is that I found out pretty quickly that when I was talking to other parents, I thought that it was going to be an easy sell. I was going to tell them about what had happened to my daughter, and tell them about all these things that I was learning about, and that they were going to remove their children from social media. And I realized that that just wasn't going to happen as easily as I thought it would. And so I felt like it was important for the kids whose parents weren't making the decision to remove them from social media or put limitations on them, that they had a space where they could experience life without the constant distractions and pull of social media. And I thought the perfect place for that would be the school community. And then, secondly, why I began really advocating to remove phones from schools is because some of the parents, like myself, who were trying to do the right thing, trying to do the difficult thing and remove phones and social media from their children's lives, were throwing their kids into an environment that really wasn't an equal playing field. I know my daughter back into a school full of other students with phones. And removing the phone from her life just really caused another issue where she was struggling equally mentally in a situation where she was just feeling so isolated. And so, those were the two big reasons why I really wanted to start this movement. And I really felt strongly that, kids deserve this space no matter what, where they can experience life without the pulls of social media.
Wow.
So my story is a little bit different in that I signed the Wait Until Eighth Pledge, which, for those of you who don't know, that's agreeing to not give your child a smartphone until the end of eighth grade. And as what we did, we still didn't do a smartphone in eighth grade. We did a talk text only phone. And then when they got to high school, most of the coaches, band director, all communicate via apps. So we felt forced to get our kids a smartphone. And it's been a battle every day since, right? I can put all the parental controls on there possible, but it still is a constant battle.
And I can speak a little bit for Maleva as well, who isn't here with us today. But Maleva and I are actually we live in the same town. And I was featured in a CNN article, or my family story was featured in that article. And Maleva had read the article and reached out to me. And we couldn't believe that because actually her son was experiencing something so similar to what my daughter was going through. And we couldn't believe that we were in the same town, and also the same school district. So.
Wow.
And that we met Sean through this Fair Play's Screen Time Action Network. So all three of us are in the Screens in Schools work group. They bring passionate advocates together to work on projects. And all three of us, Sabina, Malev, and I, were just really passionate about providing 7 or 8 hour school day without the distractions and harms of phones and social media.
And we were having such little success in our own school districts that it really started to feel quite lonely. And so I think, you know, for all three of us, that's really what drove us to the Action Network, is to find this space where there were like-minded people willing to really fight for what was best for our children.
Yeah, I definitely share I've shared before the feeling of just feeling alone in this issue, because, you know, you think it's an easy sell. It's like the world would be so much better if we just, you know, waited or we didn't use this stuff, but it's so deeply ingrained, it's actually really hard to make progress. So what was for anyone listening that wants to get involved, it was called the Fair Play Screen Time Action Network.
Correct. They have a variety of work groups. There's one for mental health, online harms, and early childhood education, nature and play. So there's a variety of work groups depending what your interest is or where your passion is that you can get involved in.
And the group that we were in was called the Screens in Schools Work Group. So in that group, we not only advocate to remove phones from schools, but also like unnecessary technology usage as well.
Wow. Well, definitely anyone's listening and they feel stuck, that they are, you know, trying to make progress on this issue, please reach out to me, to the Phone Free Schools Movement, or to this Fair Play organization that will help you get connected. If that's how you guys got started, it clearly works. So that's really cool. So to any of those parents or, you know, passionate individuals that are feeling stuck, that maybe don't want to start a movement to do this, to make progress on it, do you have any advice to maybe like a parent that is just struggling and maybe doesn't have the time to start a new movement?
Well, they can join ours if it's their concern is phones. We have now developed an ambassador program. When we launched our nonprofit, we just had an overwhelming response from people across the nation that wanted to support us and wanted to know how they could help, how they could volunteer. So we recently created an ambassador program where folks can basically use our tools that we provide to advocate in their community.
Perfect. Well, then they're all set up. I definitely recommend joining that. I've joined myself. I'm really excited to get involved. So, all right. So speaking of you guys' movement, do you guys talk about a specifically bell-to-bell phone-free environment that is required for a school to get recognized by your movement? So why is bell-to-bell specifically so important? And are there other requirements that can get a school the recognition of the phone-free movement?
I mean, we feel that a bell-to-bell policy, meaning that a phone is put away when you come into the school and isn't accessible until you leave the school for the day. We've talked to a lot of administrators, done a lot of research, and this really is the only effective way to have a phone-free policy. One of the keys to that is just leaving it up. A lot of schools right now are leaving it up to the individual teacher, which just simply doesn't work. It creates a sense of not having consistency for students. It puts the it puts the work on the teacher having to be the one that has to enforce the policy. And it just, it might help in the classroom to eliminate distractions when you're talking about academic success, but really equally as important for the school day is not just what kids are learning academically, but what they are learning socially and emotionally. Schools were traditionally the kind of first major community that kids were part of, and it's where they learn the necessary skills of how to be part of a community that are really important for when they go into the real world. And we're just stripping kids of the opportunities to experience that now. So it's really, we feel that it's really important that you have a completely phone-free space to give students the opportunity to experience everything that the school day was traditionally meant to offer. So that's academically, social, emotionally, and I don't know if there's, am I missing anything, Kim?
Well, I wanted to add that we all know how addictive the algorithms are, right? So the business model of big tech is our time is their money. And even as adults, we struggle to not look at our phones, listen mm-hmm. to those notifications and pick it up. So in order for students with developing brains to be successful, the phone really needs to be off and away. It can't be on the person. Research shows it's just too much of a pull if it's on the person. And allowing phones away the whole day, everybody experiences the benefits, from the students to the teachers to the administrators, because the students don't have fear of missing out because everybody is off. So it's a level playing field. The teachers aren't having to police the phones because it's a building wide policy. They all enforce no phones, so kids aren't pushing back. And administrators say that there's fewer discipline referrals because some say 75% of their discipline referrals are because of phones and social media. So if we remove that from the school day, even administrators benefit from less time devoted to discipline issues.
Wow. What is an example of one of those? Like, what do those look like? Those disciplinary issues related to phones? Is it just having it out or cyberbullying stuff or?
I was going to say cyberbullying is common, or taking a video of someone and posting it to social media. I can think of an example at my own kid's school where a student had a little fender bender in the parking lot at the beginning of the day, and somebody recorded it, shared it widely on social media, and just the impact on that student, right? I mean, when we were kids, Sabina and I, maybe a couple people would have saw that incident and it would have been embarrassing, but we would have been able to move on with our school day. Now, that's advertised through social media to the entire school, and you're embarrassed and bombarded with all kinds of unkind comments. And so that really distracts from what kids are at school for, right? It's really hard to learn when you're in that emotional upheaval.
And we're seeing more physical fights as well, as a result of you know, nonstop access to social media. Just in the, you know, it's very easy to organize a fight through social media. There's just more drama playing out that's causing fights. Kids have access to more inappropriate content during the school day. Kids are experiencing a lot more anxiety because of it during the school day. I mean, I in particular remember a story that a mom was telling me that her son just experiences extreme anxiety when he goes into school. He does not have a phone. And just the idea that he can make a simple mistake, you know, trip and spill his lunch tray or something like that, and that, you know, 1,000 people can have can instantly take their phones up and record what happened. And then, you know, instantaneously it's all over social media. It just is giving kids extreme anxiety.
I mean, that is just a recipe for anyone's mental health to plummet. I mean, how are you supposed to relax ever or be silly or make a friend or like be yourself when you're in that situation where everything you're doing can be documented, not just for the sake of documentation, but documented to be publicly mocked and publicly ridiculed by literally thousands of people you can't even see. So that kind of brings me honestly into another question I had, which was, so on your website, you have like a statement, all kids deserve a phone-free school. And I think, you know, after what you just said, Sabina, about how this, you know, of course you feel so much anxiety, just you can't even walk into school without being terrified of doing anything. So what are some of the reasons that you view, you know, kids deserving a phone-free school? Like, why do you see it as not just a preference, but a right for students?
I mean, I don't know. I think number one, at this point, you know, kids aren't developmentally equipped to be able to make these decisions themselves. And so we have to be the adults and the leaders, and we have to guide them to what's good for them, what's best for their development. So I think we have to provide this space where they can be free of these massive distractions, you know, free to learn, free to be themselves, you know, to figure out who they are as individuals. And like I said, free to just go walking to a school and not have to worry that any little mistake they made is going to be videotaped and sent all over social media. I mean, they deserve the right to be able to have access to the developmentally safe environment that schools traditionally were. Like, we should be protecting childhood and protecting this time in their life that is so developmentally important, because it's not a time that you can get back, right? Their brains are in a place where they are learning a lot. They're learning the tools that are going to be necessary to make them healthy adults, and we're stripping them of that environment.
I also want to add that as a society, we are prioritizing convenience over the developmental needs of children. And so cell phones have undoubtedly changed our environment, the world we live in, as well as the educational landscape. But when we say deserve, kids deserve to have those developmental needs, you know, met, right? Mm-hmm. So if we're prioritizing convenience and this ability to constantly be able to contact our children, for example, we're disrupting that developmental time, and it's really not fair to them.
Right. And we see that, you know, to add on to what Kim said, you know, this is also, schools are also a place where kids really experience that first bit of independence and learning how to be independent from their parents, and having them tethered to their parents 24/7 is not giving them the space to learn how to be independent.
That is such a good point.
We see from a parent's perspective this emotional need to be connected and to be able to reach or know where their child is at all times. But honestly, that's, again, interrupting that ability to have that independence, to develop the critical thinking, to know what to do in different situations, to not always be texting mom to figure out how to handle a situation you're in. And the school day is a safe environment to develop those skills that they need. And I think many parents don't realize that, yes, you can get a hold of your child, but so can their 350 friends as well, right? So they're not only responding to their parents, they're answering every notification that comes in, and that is extremely distracting to their educational environment.
Right. I've heard that a lot, and I saw it growing up. Like when I was in high school, a lot of my friends had an app called Life 360 on their phone, which you guys might be familiar with, where you can basically track your kid wherever they are, you know, track their phone battery, see their phone screen, I think, like check them when they're driving to see if they're speeding, like where they're driving. It's crazy. It's like a wild level of control. And it on one hand, it's like, you could think, oh, well, it's for safety. I have to know where they are. But if you're going to that crazy extreme where you're constantly hovering over them, literally when you're not even there, it's an imbalance with a need for that independent growth. As, you know, in this adolescent time, they need to be able to work with their peers and be like, not just, like you said, hugging mommy's leg, like not having to ask about everything. And, you know, and then on one hand, it is a good thing to be able to contact your child in the state of an emergency, but you don't need an all access social media iPhone for that. You know, that same thing could be accomplished by one call of a flip phone.
Right. And it's really creating a false sense of security and safety, right? Just because we know where they're at or we can get a hold of them doesn't make them safe. For example, one of the pushbacks or concerns that we hear from parents is in a crisis situation. If there were an active shooter in the school, they want to be able to have contact with their child. But what national security experts say is your child is actually not safe if they're on their phone in that situation, right? They're supposed to be listening to their teacher who's giving them direction. They could be in a hiding situation, and if their phone is dinging or lighting up, they could be found. And also if, say, there's 800 kids in the school and 400 of them are calling their parents to say what's happening, then that can clog the phone lines and first responders can't get through. And their last concern, which is unbelievable to me, is that some students will video it and post it live to social media as it's happening. And so there are just, you know, if you can step back and think it through and not let the emotional side take control, I think parents will see why it's not best for kids.
Yeah. I mean, and if you're thinking of as a parent, like, oh, I want to make sure, you know, I know where my kid is just in case something did happen. When I was in school, all my friends who had Life 360 would just leave, like they would just wait until it would be an acceptable time for us to be asleep. And then they just leave their phone at my house. And then we would leave. And then, you know, then they're without a phone. They're even more unsafe. They can't [S2] Right. [S1] Use their phone if they needed it. And you don't know where they are and you can't get in touch with them. So it's just like counterintuitive because you need that balance. You need to let your kid become independent.
Yeah, I know. I hear a lot of my friends, my kids' friends say, well, I didn't tell you that I arrived here. I didn't tell you I was here because you can just see me on Life 360. So there's really no reason for me to like touch base mm-hmm. with you or anything. And I just think that that's like such an important, like just even planning or it is an important skill that we're kind of missing when we track our kids nonstop.
Communication as well, communication yeah. skills, communication. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's just overall the issue of phones with kids, or one of the main ones, is just this lack of this halting of development, whether it's social development, whether it's, you know, independence development, whether it's, you know, communication development. It's just this halting. It's just causing this really important adolescent time for growth to become just still and stagnant. And it's really, you know, affecting high school students specifically. So we've talked a lot about the hurts and the problems with a school that has full access to phones. Have you guys had the chance to meet with parents and schools and students that have gone to a school that had a bell-to-bell phone-free policy, maybe yonder pouches in effect at that school? Have you seen the difference?
Yeah, the benefits are plentiful. They're endless, really. I mean, kids are more focused and engaged and learning. Teachers have said they're able to get through lesson plans quicker because they're not distracted by having to police phones, and kids are getting more done when the phone isn't present. They're engaged with each other, engaged with the teacher. Lunchrooms are loud because kids aren't face down in their device, right? They're actually communicating and sharing their experiences. Attendance actually improves because kids aren't texting their parents to have them call them out of class. We had one school share that the librarian did some research and pulled some data that showed that after a phone policy was in place, 50% more books were being checked out of their library, which is a benefit that wasn't top of mind for us, but it gives me goosebumps to think about. That's very powerful, right? What do we want our kids to be doing at school? Reading books or on their phone?
I mean, talk about that for just what's beneficial going to school. Like, why do you want your kid in school? Like, that is just such a clear example to me, such a gem of a little piece of data that is shown. That's really cool.
And I think as long as kids have phones on them, even if they're put away, it's still too easy for us to use it as a crutch. I mean, as parents, even I'm guilty. I think we use it to as babysitters sometimes, pretty much. And I think it's not just parents. It's happening in our classrooms. When you see, it's a lot. It's easy for when children are done or students are done assignments or a test to just not have to worry about coming up with anything else for them to do to occupy that free time in class, and allow them to just go on their phone. But that's really, taking away time from them that traditionally was filled with other things, reading a book, engaging with peers. Anything is better than just sitting and watching Netflix in class.
It's not why we sent them to school, and that's not why teachers went into that field, right? Teachers don't want to have to police phones. I mean, we want this for not only students but teachers as well. So they statistics also show that teacher retention improves in schools that have phone bans. So there's benefits all around. We didn't mention as well the mental health of students. There's a new study out of Norway that just came out this year that showed that mental health in girls specifically improved drastically in schools with phone bans.
That is, it's so good to hear that we've seen improvements and that some schools really are actually adopting a bell-to-bell phone-free policy because, well, I mean, of course, I'm here now because of my experience in high school and how I was so isolated and experienced this, constant anxiety and isolation. But oh my gosh, if they had put that in at my school, that would have been like, that would have changed everything for me. And it would have really, like, it would have completely changed my experience for the better. So it's really good to see that that's happening and that you guys are pushing for that. So one thing I wanted to talk about too is you guys' view of the future. Because right now, like you're saying, you're trying to get these schools and parents to hopefully give up their limit their kids' social media or adopt a phone-free bell-to-bell policy. How do you see the trajectory of phones in schools changing over the next 5, 10, 20 years?
I mean, I think at first it's probably going to be a slow process, but eventually we're going to get to that tipping point where enough schools have committed to doing this, that if you're a school that isn't doing it, you're kind of, you're the outlier, right? And that's, we just need to get it to that point where administrators can't really turn their heads anymore to the problem. We talk about this a lot, that transparency is a huge issue. You know, it's really hard as parents to understand what exactly is happening during the school day if you're not telling us. Our kids certainly aren't going to come home and tell us that phones are allowed all day, and, you know, that they're on Netflix, because they're going to have a fear that their phone is going to be taken away. So we really need administrators to be more transparent about what is actually going on in our schools right now.
Sorry, Sabina. I was just going to say, I truly believe in 10 years, we're going to look back and say, what were we thinking? What were we thinking?
Yeah, agreed. I mean, yeah. It's honestly, it's, in my opinion, a perfect analogy when people bring up cigarettes in comparison to smartphones being in schools. So, you know, there used to be smoking sections in high schools. And if you had a sticker on your ID, you could smoke in the smoking section. It's just crazy to think about. And so now we look back, we're like, what were we thinking? So do you guys see a familiar, or like a similar societal distaste forming towards phones and social media, specifically in the hands of children?
Absolutely. And what we saw then was tobacco companies saying our product is safe, right? They even got doctors to say it was safe to smoke. So here we are. We have big tech saying their product is safe for children, right? They do everything they can to protect children. Yet research is showing that's not the case. I mean, if you look at Jonathan Haidt's research, he just wrote the Anxious Generation, and it's a book about how we've moved from a play-based childhood to a phone-based childhood, and how that has made our youth more anxious. So it's definitely the same story written over again. I just hope it doesn't take 30 years for us to realize we've messed up here and we shouldn't be allowing phones in schools. There's also the secondhand smoke effect that we like to call it, because research says if I have my phone out, but Sean, you don't have your phone out, and we both take a test, your test score, the kid without the phone, their test score decreases 6%. So even though they were doing the right thing and didn't have their phone out, just because their neighbor did, they're impacted, which is why we call it the secondhand smoke effect.
But it's even going to be, I think, a tougher problem to solve than it was for smoking, because, I mean, it's such a societal problem where everything is so tethered to our phones right now. It's really like, you know, it's, you could quit smoking and still not have any problem, you know, without going to work without a cigarette. But, you know, it's like everything is so connected to these phones now that it's going to take such a huge shift. And I think we can do it, but it really is going to take a huge like change in mentality, and it's going to have to come from every direction.
Do you see that with younger families, with families that have, you know, preschool and elementary, young elementary kids? They're now seeing the research and the impact and the overuse, right? So they're trying to create communities free of these harms. Whereas Sabina and I, with our teenagers, they were in the experiment, right? Like, it's, they're the ones that, my kids were in fifth and sixth grade when COVID hit, right? So they went online, and it was just this, the only way to communicate was through devices, and it just took over. And they're seeing the negative impacts on our teenagers because of that.
Yeah, that is not easy, because that's one of the other things I've talked about, is it's not like an alcohol addiction. It's not like a nicotine addiction where you don't need it. Like with a phone, you actually need it for certain things. Like if you can't go to work without your phone, you need your work group chat for your phone. You need to be able to check emails. And I mean, do you guys foresee like solutions to that aspect of the problem, or do you theorize at all on how we're going to solve that change in this problem versus cigarettes?
Well, the education environment, almost all schools are one-to-one. Every child is given a school-issued device. So everything that they're using their phone for can be done on the device. So the phone is really not needed in that environment.
Yeah. And just, I mean, schools, I was thinking of something that I actually just experienced with my own child today. It's just schools have to be a lot more conscious about like how they're inadvertently like promoting device usage. I had an experience where my six-year-old, he's in first grade, and he's been crying every morning and begging me for a smartwatch or a Fitbit because his school is having a community kind of contest of how many steps we can get. And they're actually somehow they've promoted it to the kids that they get dojo points, which are this kind of like cash that they can trade in for toys or something, some kind of reward. And it's like, you know, the fact that he's in first grade and he's kind of been being pushed into like, I don't have a device, so I can't be part of this community initiative is just crazy to me. And I'm sure that, I don't know, maybe it's something that they aren't really like thinking about, but schools really have to be more conscious about how we're pushing our kids into this device usage from very young age.
Well, you guys are doing it. You guys are helping these schools, you know, just by saying what you guys need to say and what they need to hear. And over time, I truly believe that we'll make it to that tipping point where if you're the one still encouraging first graders to get a smartwatch, then you're the outlier, you know, because that's like Kim said, we're going to look back in 10 years and just be kicking ourselves. Like, this is just so crazy. So being on the forefront, like you guys are, you know, starting a movement that's challenging the status quo in this way can be really challenging. So what are some ways that you guys have received pushback and you guys are overcoming it?
You know, the very first way is why we created this movement altogether, and that is in our own district's conversations with our superintendents and administrators got us nowhere. They were acknowledging problems, but there was an unwillingness for change. And so that's really that challenge in and of itself pushed us to move beyond our communities, our local environment, and advocate nationally. And anytime you're trying to go against the norm, societal norm, there's going to be pushbacks because it's just what people are used to, right? And we're trying to say, just because it's what you're used to doesn't mean it's what's best for children. And this is important to make this change.
Yeah, absolutely. It is crazy to me that people don't see it or they're not willing to take that leap, but it is exactly that. It's just a principle of change and how things work. So what were their responses when you brought to them? Like, what did they say when you brought them the proof and your experience, maybe even Sabina's news interview? What were their reactions? They just blew you off?
You mean they were very forthcoming with, yes, this is terrible. This is a problem. This is a problem in our schools. But am I going to do anything about it? Nope. Because, I mean, there was, for the most part, a fear of parent pushback and just an unwillingness to I guess, stand up for what's right. I mean, I just remember meetings where I was pleading with our superintendent to put out a video, make a statement about how harmful what was going on at these social media was, and how toxic it was becoming to the school day, and to share the things that were going on. And there was an absolute refusal to do it. And I can't really begin to understand why, but, you know, at a certain point, we just kind of decided that we had to move on to the bigger picture.
In my district, I'm in a suburb of Kansas City. They focus on how the phone is a tool and they need to learn how to use the tool. But they're not addressing all of the addictive algorithms and distractions it creates, right? And it's really hard to teach an undeveloped brain to not be distracted by those notifications. They also, a lot of administrators claim they don't put forth a policy is because they're afraid of parent pushback. And I get told all the time that, Kim, not all parents have the same opinion about phones as you do. And my response to that is, I'm not wanting you to do what I think. I'm wanting you to follow the research to what's best for children. And there seems to be this fear of the parents speaking out and not supporting an entire day phone free. So they're just really hesitant to move forward.
Yeah, it's just that same concept of it's changed, it's different, it's scary. People, you know, they have their job. It's important that people like them. They're maybe afraid to take that stand for what's right, just because, you know, not everyone is in that position where they feel like they can be a leader. But I'm glad that you guys have, you know, while it's really unfortunate that you guys' school districts are not being cooperative, it's amazing to see that you guys are turning it into a positive thing and taking your passion national, and it's going to inspire a lot of change through, you know, as you guys stick with this organization. I mean, I love the idea of having an actual organization dedicated to schools, because like you said, it's one of those environments where it's a one-to-one. They have a school device, so they actually could survive without having a phone, unlike the real world, where you kind of, once you get into the real world, you kind of have to find a way to live with it. But to preserve that childhood, to preserve that adolescence, it's still possible. And you guys can definitely make that happen. So,
and we've already experienced a lot of those positives, in that we've had several schools reach out to us, either administrators or Board of Education members. So we've been meeting with folks across the nation who want to implement a bell-to-bell policy in the fall. So it's been really exciting to see that need and the desire for help and guidance, because we do believe the policy has to be very specific. The consequences have to be strict in order for it to be effective.
And we are, you know, this movement is here, not just to speak out about, you know, the problems that are happening, but we're really here to be a support network for administrators. We are in the process of developing an extremely comprehensive toolkit that is going to give administrators everything that they need to implement these successful phone-free policies.
We know they're busy. They have a lot on their plate. I'm sure it's daunting to think about how in the world am I going to implement a policy. So this will be a step-by-step guide that includes communication to all stakeholders, which is really key in being successful, is having those conversations, sharing it with your community prior to implementing the policy.
Wow, it is really great to hear that you guys are doing that. And if anybody, I mean, if there's anybody out there who is listening, who is either a passionate parent who is, you know, feeling this pull on their kids, or if you know an administrator that feels this way, please reach out to the Phone Free Schools Movement. They're doing amazing work. You have their website online. Please check it out. They have a lot of great information, ways to reach out to them. It's phonefreeschoolsmovement.org and their Instagram account. Do you guys have an Instagram page as well? What's the username for that?
Oh boy.
Malevolent. Phone Free Schools. Phone Free Schools is our Instagram, and our Facebook is Phone Free Schools Movement.
Kim and I are both the non-Instagram users.
Okay, sorry to put you in the spot, but I can always put it in the description as well. It's at Phone Free Schools on Instagram.
Yes. And at
Phone Free Schools Movement on Facebook.
Correct.
Okay, so please follow along. Do you guys want to take a moment to talk about you guys' PSA opportunity you have going on?
Sure. We introduced a PSA video contest for high schoolers. Basically, it's a way for students to use their voice to share what the impact is of phones on their school day, their mental health, their academics, socially having access to phones, how it's really impacting them. So that deadline is May 6th. So it's open to any 9th through 12th grader in the United States. And you can go to our website to find out all the details.
Yeah. And hearing from the student perspective is just going to be so essential to this movement. So, you know, we really hope that we get some great response for that.
Yeah, I know that students do have those feelings. When I first started Reconnect when I was in high school, I had people reaching out to me with paragraphs of how they felt that they wanted to throw their phone out the window and how they wish that, you know, everybody at their school would put their phone down. So I bet you guys will definitely get some responses for that. And if you guys, there's $300 on the line. All right. You can, if you win, if you're selected, you might win $300. That's, I mean, what high school student, it's like, you're rich. If you have $300, that's amazing. So, thank you so much, guys, for what you're doing. Your movement is so important in this kind of fight that we're all in, on this forefront of trying to fight for what's right for students' development, for kids' development, and just for our society as a whole. So thank you so much for creating this movement and doing this amazing work.
Thank you, Sean, for all you're doing. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. And until next time, see you later.
See ya.
Bye.